This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهد الله فهو المهتد ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالًا كثيرًا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد عباد الله اعلموا أن خير الكلام كلام الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. A quick disclaimer, yesterday was supposed to be about the lessons from the seerah of Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم, and today we're supposed to be talking about Muslims and Christmas. So we're going to flip, we're going to, you know, continue talking about lessons from the seerah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because it is indeed very obvious that Christmas is for the Christians and Eid are for Muslims. And I don't think people such as yourselves who are in the masajid, abna'i al-masajid, people of the masjid, I don't think you will get confused between Christmas, the celebrations of Christmas, and the Eid itself. As Muslims, anything that repeats itself in a particular day as an annual, it considered to be out of the innovation that Islam is against. See, everything that repeats itself exact the same day, like let us say the 25th of December is a Christmas day, so it is a Eid because it repeats itself at the same time every year. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he came to the city of Medina, he made hijrah, as we know hadith al-Nabi. And he realized that the Ansar themselves, they're celebrating a particular day. So the Messenger of Allah, he said, what are those days? قَالُوا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ These are the days that we used to celebrate them during the days of Jahiliyyah. Before you came to us, before you became a Messenger of Allah, and before you came and moved to the city of Medina, this was our culture, this was our religion, this was our, you know, part of our custom. We used to celebrate twice a year. فَقَالَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ أَبَدَ لَكُمَا Allah has given you better days. Don't celebrate those days. The days of Jahiliyyah, do not celebrate them. Celebrate the day of Eid al-Fitr and Eid al-Adha. So from there we learn, there is no other Eid in our religion except the Eid of Eid al-Fitr and Eid al-Adha. Now, what should be our stand against or other in front of the other celebrations? As they respect us, that we celebrate the day of Al-Fitr and the day of Al-Adha, yet they do not join us. Other nations, whether they are, I don't know about UK, but in Canada, we have a lot of different celebrations. We have a Chinese New Year's, and they celebrate, the whole city celebrates, the Chinese people, and those who want to join them. They have the Jews, they have their own celebrations. Christians, they have their own celebrations. And Muslims, they have their own celebration. As a matter of fact, Hindus also, they have their own celebrations. They don't join us, and we don't join them, and everybody is happy. So what should our stand be concerning these celebrations such as Christmas? We should respect that this is part of their culture, part of their religion. We should acknowledge that. But it is not for us. I don't see any Chinese people coming to the masjid for the day of Eid and giving me a gift for Eid. I don't see that in Canada. I don't see a Chinese person putting, you know, a little hilal, which is not for Muslim anyway, but little hilal in front of his door because of Eid. They don't. But they do for their new year. That's theirs. So we have ours and they have theirs. So we got to respect each other. We said we acknowledge this is what you do for this part in a certain time of the year. But we're not part of. We're not Christians. We're not Jew. We're not Chinese. We're not Hindus. We are Muslims. We have the days of Eid that we enjoy the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let us stick to that. And let us be Muslims. And let us celebrate those days. However, we, as a matter of fact, as parents, I feel we fail our children during the days of Eid. So during the Christmas, you know, they have Christmas trees, they have gifts for their children, they have Santa Claus, you know, dressed a certain way, you know. But the days of Eid, especially such a place in Canada, there is no such a thing. It's just for come for Salat al-Eid. If there's a little bazaar, you enjoy the bazaar, you eat a little sweet, you go home. It's a quick Eid. But when we were going back home, I don't know if you remember, I mean, Eid was Eid. I mean, Eid was something that we used to look forward to as children. Oh Allah, the days of Eid, we used to count days and hours. You know, when the day of Eid comes, we expected money from our parents, from our relatives. If I was, you know, they used to come and give us, you know, 50 riyal, 500 riyal, you know, whatever money. They used to give us gift. They used to buy us a nice outfit. It was the day of Eid. And then Eid al-Fitr was one day that we celebrate. And Eid al-Adha was all 3 days. But in the West, especially such a place in Canada, my reference is Canada, not UK, not in not America, not China. Not, my reference is Canada. But in Canada, it's more like, unfortunately, quick celebration, and the rest of the day is like janazah. Nobody, you know, there is no jobs, everybody's at home. As a matter of fact, we come back and then we sleep. After Salat al-Eid, you know, we eat a little bit and we sleep. That's it. Our children don't feel the vibe, they don't feel the excitement of Eid. But they see Christmas trees every single street, on every single house, in every single house, on every single street. They see on malls. So I think as parents, we should revive the Eid that we used to, you know, practice back home and enjoy with our children. However, when it comes to the hukum, we are Muslims and they are Christians. We have our own faith and they have their own faith. We have our own celebrations, they have theirs. There is no way we can be mixed. We're not, you know, mixing. These are religious practices. In Canada, I don't know if you know, in Christmas, they used to say to, you know, when you buy something or, you know, the cashier or the customer service used to say, you know, Merry Christmas to you. You know, Merry Christmas, you know. And you're like, I don't know what to say, you know, how to respond. Should I say Merry Christmas to you too? Or should I move? Until other people, they said, why do we have to say Merry Christmas? I'm a Jew. I'm a Hindu. I'm Sikh. I don't practice this. So they changed to Happy Holiday. Something that nobody can, you know, have issues with. So they acknowledge that in Canada, and I'm sure here you have a lot more freedom as far as I know in terms of individual practices and religions. So as Muslims, we know our limit. We should not get confused concerning this. But let's talk about something that is dear to us. Let us talk about what can we learn from Sirah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, this is very unique. See, Sirah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi is a beautiful thing. And you may ask yourself, why do we have to go over the seerah again and again? Why do we have so many different books being written about the seerah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Because we want to know every bit of his life sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let me ask you, do we love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Why are we quiet? Should I say, do we love Christmas? Maybe you will respond, do we love Rasulullah? If we love Rasulullah, then you can't love someone that you don't know anything about him. You know, maybe some of you, if I asked you, who suckled the Nabi sallallahu, who breastfed the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam right after his birth beside his mother? How many of you will know the answer? How many of you? We're not going to Halima Sa'diyya. We're not going. Who suckled the Nabi sallallahu after Amina, you know, the mother of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Who suckled Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Now, if you really love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, number one, you should say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Number two, if you love him, then you wanna know everything about him. Everything. You know, you would know the names of his friends. You would know, you know, where he was born, what day was when he was born, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You wanna know, you know, what type of food that he used to like. You wanna know what was his favorite drink. You wanna know, you know, what was it, which of his wife that he loved most. You wanna know everything about him. You know about, like if I ask you, for example, for those of you who follow football, you love football, am I right? You know, football, the mystery was empty yesterday because there was a football game. You know, but today, you know, you love football, which is true. You know, we love basketball. In Canada, we love basketball. We follow basketball more than we follow football. But I guarantee you, you know your favorite team. I guarantee you know when the team was established. I guarantee you, you know your best player in your team. I guarantee you know where it lies, where it falls on the chart, or you know, on the, are they second place or third place or fourth place? Because we do the same thing. Because that's love that we have for sports. But what about the players? Same thing. But what about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? We should love him more and we should know more about him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, I want to ask you a question. I want to test the young people. I see the young people, mashallah, tabarakallah. I want to see if you guys know. I'm going to go over certain stories and I'm going to ask you certain questions later. But let me ask you this question first. Now, one of the Sahaba of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he thought Messenger of Allah loved him most, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this Sahabi, he wanted to know, you know, if he really, if Rasulullah loves him, he wanted to confirm that. So he came to the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he said, Ya Rasulullah, man ahabbu nasi ilayk, who do you love most, O Messenger of Allah? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam immediately said the name of one of his wives. And that was Aisha. I'm not asking you about Aisha. Now I'm asking you, I'm not asking you about your wives. I'm asking you about the men, about the Sahaba. Who do you love most? And then he said, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. And then he said, and thumma man, who comes after that? Now, who was the second best companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Now, Umar, Allahu Akbar. Say Allahu Akbar. MashaAllah, very good. Now, after Umar, then he said, thumma man, who do you love after Umar? Now, he said, I love Aisha radiallahu anha. He said, I'm not asking about what your wives. He said, I love Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, Abuha. He said, I'm not asking about that. He said, you know, Umar bin Khattab. And after Umar, he said, thumma man, who do you love after Umar? Uthman. Say Allahu Akbar. MashaAllah, Tabarakallah. Now I want you to remember these names, because during this talk I'm going to ask you to tell me the names of the people that I mentioned. And I usually pick on the brothers who are leaning on the walls. They are my favorites. Especially the young man who leans on the, or those who lean on the walls, they are my favorites. I love them. I put them on the spot. MashaAllah, the one with the hoodies. They don't want to see, they don't want to be seen, and they don't want to see anyone. I love those kind of guys. So inshallah, I would ask them questions as we go. Now, let us talk about only one aspect of the seerah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. See, no one in one night or one hour can claim that I'm going to be speaking about the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the beginning to the end. But I want to speak about certain things that the Messenger of Allah did, or he had a certain character that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had. And this is hirsahu ala hidayatin nas. How eager he used to be guiding people. How eager. Now what I want you to do is, when I'm talking about the seerah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I want you to take that and implement it in your daily life. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ كَمِّلْ يَعِبَادَ اللَّهِ أَسْوَةً. So we have an excellent example in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what I want to do is this. I want you to learn these lessons with me, and then we go on, and then we would examine ourselves. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was this keen about this. He did this. Am I doing that or not? This is what I want to go. First of all, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, like all other prophets, he was sent to guide all mankind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, رُسُلًا مُبَشِّرِينَ وَمُنذِرِينَ. The purpose of the messengers of Allah is to give people glad tidings. Bushra. مُبَشِّرِينَ بِالْجَنَّةِ. To give those who believe in Allah the glad tidings, because of your faith you will be from the people of Jannah. وَمُنذِرِينَ. And to warn those people. To warn those people who don't want to be Muslims, who did not want to follow the limits of Allah. And I'm not talking about Muhammad only, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I'm talking about, and I want you to say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam every time. I'm talking about Nuh. I'm talking about before him Idris. I'm talking about Nuh. I'm talking about Ibrahim. I'm talking about Yusuf. I'm talking about Yaqub. I'm talking about all of the messengers of Allah. They came for two things: to give us the glad tidings and to warn us about the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was no exception. His job was to tell people, if you believe in Allah, then you will go to Jannah. And if you disbelieve in Allah, you will not enter paradise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ هَدَى اللَّهِ فَبِهُدَاهُمْ اقْتَدِي. Ya Muhammad, those are the people who we guide, whom Allah guided them. He's talking about all the messengers of Allah. So Ya Muhammad, follow their guidance. So we will follow how the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was keen, like the rest of the messengers and the prophets of Allah. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling the Quraysh and us that Allah has sent a messenger. لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ. A messenger came from among yourselves. عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنْتُمْ. It hurts, you know, it bothers him and it hurts him, your struggle. It hurts him when he sees you struggling. Yani Allah is saying, we have sent a messenger to you. He is so concerned about you. Harisun alaykum. So concerned about you that it hurts him that you struggle. Every time that you go through difficulties, every time that you struggle with your salah or with your ibadah or with your life, it hurts him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Qala harisun alaykum. بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. Not only that he is so passionate, so compassionate, so loving, so caring, but especially he's loving and caring for the mu'mineen, for the believers. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calmed the messenger down sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when the messenger of Allah became so concerned about the condition of his ummah. And Allah said, وَمَا أَكْثَرُ النَّاسِ وَلَوْ حَرَصْتَ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ. Ya Muhammad, don't overkill yourself. Don't overdo it. Yani don't stress yourself because majority of the people are not believers. Majority of the people would not be believers. So don't kill over yourself over these people if they don't follow the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now subhanAllah, can you imagine that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looked at the condition of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees that his messenger is struggling, losing his sleep over these people who do not want to be a mu'mineen, who do not want to listen to the call of Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's saying, Ya Muhammad, don't stress yourself too much over these people, because majority of the people will not be believers. Majority of the people. Which one of you would love this world to be all Muslims? I would love that. I would love for me to go to China and feel comfortable praying in a public place. I would love for me to go to India and pray in a public places without fear. I would love my sisters to be in India or, you know, Sri Lanka or in South Africa or Western or West Africa, and then see them with hijab with comfort. But the reality of the case situation is most of the people are not Muslim. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is comforting his messenger and he's saying, وَمَا أَكْثَرُ النَّاسِ وَلَوْ حَرَصْتَ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ. Ya Muhammad, majority of the people are not Muslims. So relax, calm down, take care of yourself. من العجيب here in this country, I live in Canada. I don't know about UK. Canada is about 37.5 million people. We are the largest, we are the second largest country in the world. We used to be first, but we are the second largest country in the world. And we are only 37.5 million people. Among those 37.5, we have only 1 million Muslims scattered around Canada. Scattered all over Canada, from the east to the west, from north to south. All scattered. 1 million Muslims. Sometimes you go to certain villages, you go to certain cities, you will not see a Muslim. You will not see hijabi. You will not see brother with a thawb or kufi. Not like Birmingham, you know. You will, mashallah, tabarakallah, every direction that you turn, there's a sister with hijab, there's a brother with kufi, there's a brother with a thawb or beard. Ni'mah. Wallahi antum fi ni'mah. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to his messenger, وَمَا أَكْثَرُ النَّاسِ وَلَوْ حَرَصْتَ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ. Majority of the people are not believers. So don't stress yourself. In another ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِن تَحْرُصْ عَلَى هُدَى. If you're so keen, if you become so keen about their guidance, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَهْدِي مَنْ يُضِلْ. When those Allah has misguided them, Allah will not guide them. So don't, once again, stress yourself over these people. In another ayah, because Allah, Nabi, Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he loved Abu Talib dearly. He loved him so much, to the point that the mu'arrikhin, the people who wrote the seerah, they call the year that Abu Talib died with Khadija, Am al-Huzn, the year of grief. Because he grieved so much, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to him, Innaka la tahdi man ahbabt. Ya Muhammad, subhanallah, we'll come to his seerah, his father, his uncle, how he died. Innaka la tahdi man ahbabt. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. How many of you know a good person? Maybe, you know, could be a family member, it could be, you know, not even a Muslim, but how many of you know a good person and say, you know, I really, really wish for that person to be a Muslim. And sometimes, you know, it hurts you, it bothers you, you know, when you see someone like that. I have a lady at my work. She's a Christian. She's a practicing Christian. Practicing Christian. She's a, you know, mashallah, she's her late 50s or 50s. She is a wonderful person. Wonderful person. And subhanAllah, she is so decent. She doesn't lie. She doesn't cheat. She doesn't cut corners. She helps me with the business. You know, she tells me, don't run this. You got to do this. This is how to deal with these people. For no charge. I haven't seen that from a lot of Muslims. Not that I'm preferring non-Muslim over Muslim, but akhlaqiyat is different than the aqidah. Then I wish for that person, wallahi, I wish for that lady, for Allah to guide her. Because she's a really genuine human being. She's a perfect human being. She cares for others. She sees somebody who needs help. She is the first person to help that person. She would not say, is he a Muslim? Is he a Christian? Is he my faith, from my faith? Is he white? Is he brown? Is he black? Is he green? She does not know none of that. She's just good natured person. That's her nature. And I would love for her to be guided. I would love. But Allah said, إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. We see you and we know good people, but only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who guides. Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at night and sometimes used to sit with grief and sadness, with huzn, because the people of Quraysh would not accept Islam. Some of the mu'arrikhin, some of the mu'arrikhin, subhanAllah, they said, Abu Jahl came to the Messenger of Allah. After Rasulullah, you know, keep approaching him, keep approaching, Ya Abul Hakam, Ya Abul Hakam, قُلْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهَ تُفْلِحْ Ya Abul Hakam, I am the Messenger of Allah. Ya Abu al-Hakam. And this is Abu Jahl. And by the way, if you remember the seerah of Abu Jahl, if you read the seerah of Abu Jahl knew that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the messenger of Allah. Him and Hakim bin Hizam and another guy, three of them sat together. And they listened to the recitation of Rasulullah, the Quran. فَقَالُوا يَا أَبَا الْحَكَمْ مَا قَوْلُكُمْ What do you think about this man? What do you think about this man? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then look how he evaluated the whole situation. He said, he's talking about his own family. And Bani Hashim. We said we do this for the Hujjaj, they say we do this. We said we will do this, they say we will do this. قَالَ حَتَّى إِذَا تَسَاوَتُ الرُّكَبْ When we became even. When we became head to head, they're not ahead of us, they're not better than us, we're not ahead of them, we're not better than them. قَالُوا مِنَّ النَّبِيِّ All of a sudden they say, we have a Nabi in our family. How can we get a Nabi from our family who speaks like this man? وَاللَّهِ لَا أُؤْمِنَ بِهِ وَاللَّهِ I will not believe in this man. Not because the message of Rasulullah was wrong, simply because he was not from his family. So the mu'arrikhin said, Messenger of Allah, every day we go to him. Ya Abul Hakam, accept Islam. Ya Abul Hakam, قُلْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ فَقَالَ يَا مُحَمَّدْ لَا تِرِيَنِي وَجْهَكَ بَعْدَ الْيَوْمِ After today, don't show me your face. I don't want to see your face after today. And then one night, when the weather was cold and it was raining, in the middle of the night, darkness, in the middle of the darkness, somebody knocked on the door of Abu Jahl. فَقَالَ أَبُو جَهْلِ لِأَهْلِ Abu Jahl said to his family, I don't care who this person is. I promise that whatever he came for, I will grant him. I will give him whatever he wants. And then he opened the door and he saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and running, the water is running from his beard, from his turban, from his thobe, is all wet. and he's standing at the door. فَقَالَ يَا أَبَا الْحَكَمُ, you told me not to come to you any day. Today, right now is not a day, it's a night time. It's not a daytime, it's a night time. وَأَدْعُوكَ, and I call you to say لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. So somebody from the family said, يَا أَبَا الْحَكَمُ, you just said you will give this person that you did not see behind the door, you will give him whatever he came for. قَالَ إِلَّا هَذَا, except this one. إِلَّا هَذَا, I don't want to give this man what he wanted. What he wanted. Rasulullah used to be so concerned about people because they were not Muslims. And they were not non-Muslim peaceful people. They were enemy of the deen. They were enemy of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Rasulullah, وَلَا تَحْزَنْ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا تَكُ فِي ضَيْقٍ مِمَّا يَمْكُرُونَ. Do not feel sad for them. Don't be sad for them. Don't grieve for them. And don't worry what they're plotting against you. In another ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَلَا تَذْهَبْ نَفْسُكَ عَلَيْهِمْ حَسَنًا. He said, don't kill yourself for these people. They're not worth it. Because Allah knew Abu al-Hakam would never become a mu'min. Would never become a believer. In another ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعُ نَفْسَكَ أَلَّا يَكُونُ مُؤْمِنِينَ. Maybe, Ya Muhammad, you're going to kill yourself. يعني باخِع نفسك, meaning you're not killing in a term of suicide, but you really, really pressure yourself. You're giving, you know, whatever you have because they did not become a believers. In another ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَلَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعُ نَفْسَكَ عَلَىٰ آثَارِهِمْ إِن لَمْ يُؤْمِنُوا بِهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ أَسَفَ. Ya Muhammad, maybe you're going to stress, maybe you're going to kill yourself again, maybe you're going to, you know, cause yourself, you know, all this because they did not follow the deen of Allah. فَلَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعُ نَفْسَكَ عَلَىٰ آثَارِهِمْ. He used to walk after them. He used to tell these people, قُولُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ تُفْلِحُ. So let us go over some of the example that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to have hirs, you know, concern and being keen on how to guide people. Something, ya ibadullah, that you and I don't have today. I repeat, you and I today, we don't have the same concern for others to become Muslims as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu. We don't. Again, I cannot judge people of UK, but I know for fact in Canada we have non-Muslim neighbors. And I'm sure that we never ever went to them and said to them, what do you think about Islam? Would you be interested knowing about Islam? Can I tell you something about Islam? Never did that. We never gave them a pamphlet, a leaflet, say this is about Islam. Never. Because the hirs, we're not keen. We're not, you know, I'm not that person. We're not. Even though, mashallah, tabarakallah, the number of Muslims are over 2 billion, but we're not keen guiding people anymore. We're more keen, you know, making money, getting degrees, knowing that our purpose is not money or degrees. Our purpose is for us to be the messengers of a messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our first job is not for us to be doctors, nurses, engineers, which is also good. But our first job is to be dua ila Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Especially in this country. Like if you become a da'i in Somalia, for example, who are you going to give da'wah? There's non-Muslim, everybody is Muslim in Somalia. 100% Muslim, 100% Sunni. You know, who are you going to give da'wah other than the person who's still saying, I'm a Muslim, but perhaps is committing sins, to give him nasiha, ad-dinun nasiha. But in this country and Canada, we have a golden opportunity to go to someone who is a not Muslim and say, you know, I want to tell you about Islam. I am very keen for you just to understand Islam. So let's talk about the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. First thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah, when He allowed him to speak to the public, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, first of all, talk to your family. وَأَنذِرْ عَشِيرَتَكَ الْأَقْرَبِينَ. Warn your closest family. Don't go out of the city. Don't speak to the hujjaj. Don't speak to the people coming for umrah. Don't speak to the people outside of your own family. At the beginning, His message was, talk to your family. And that is the responsibility of every single one of us. If your son is doing well, it's your job to talk to him. If your wife is not doing well, it is your job to talk to her. If your husband is not doing well in Islam, it's your job to talk to him. And so on, because this is the front line. This is the first line of defense. So when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he climbed on the mountain of Safa. And then he started calling people, فَيَقُولْ يَا بَنِي فِحْ. He started calling families of the Quraysh, family after family, by their name, يَا بَنِي عَدِي. And then they all came out. They all came out to the Safa. And for those of you who know, the Haram is close, the Kaaba is very close to Safa and Marwa, the mountain of Safa and Marwa. But the Quraysh used to have houses around that area, little bit away from the mountains. The Messenger of Allah climbed up the mountain and he started calling the families of the Quraysh until all of them came, and the man who could not come, who heard the voice of a Messenger of Allah, would send somebody from the family and he said, go and see what Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is talking about. When everybody came, and you can imagine, he's standing, he's climbed on the mountain, and everybody is looking at him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said to them, what would you say if I told you there's an army coming behind that mountain? What would you do? They will say, we will believe you, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَقَالَ إِنِّي نَذِيرٌ لَكُمْ بَيْنَ يَدِي عَذَابٍ شَدِيدٍ. He said, I am indeed a warner for you, a messenger who is warning you against the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everybody stayed silent. Nobody talked to the Messenger of Allah except, and this is what I need to know, this is one of the questions, when the Messenger of Allah, first time that he talked to the people, everybody stayed silent except one person. And that person, قَالَ تَبَّنْ لَكَ أَلِهَذَا جَمَعْتَنَا. He said, woe to you. Is that the reason that you gathered us? I want to ask you, not now, but I will ask you the name of this man who spoke against the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And not only that, ya ibadallah, after the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started giving da'wah to everybody, to the Quraysh, to the non-Quraysh, to all the tribe who will come for Hajj and Umrah, time was passing quickly. And then the day came when Abu Talib was about to die. And I want you to consider the situation. Abu Talib, this man, he was fighting for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam against his own people. He would say to the rest of the Quraysh, you cannot talk to my nephew. You cannot stop him. When they try to hurt the Messenger of Allah, Abu Talib would tell them, not while I'm alive, not during my lifetime. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to get hurt by the Quraysh after the death of Abu Talib. Now, Abu Talib is dying, and Messenger of Allah heard about the da'wah, about the situation of Abu Talib, and he came to run to the room where Abu Talib was. And when he came, Abu Jahl was there, Umayyah bin Khalaf was there, Abu Lahab was there, all of them surrounding Abu Talib. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to him, فَقَالَ يَا عَمْ قُلْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ كَلِمَةً أَشْهَدُ لَكَ بِهَا عِنَّ اللَّهِ. يَا عَمْ, uncle, just say La ilaha illallah. Don't worry about prayers. Don't worry about reading Quran. Don't worry about, going, doing tawaf, doing hajj and umrah, coming to Islam. Just say, La ilaha illallah. And then, Abu Lahab, he said, Ya Abu Talib, would you disown the religion of your forefathers? Would you disown the religion of your forefathers? And Abu Talib would not say anything. But Rasulullah would keep repeating the same thing, Ya Abu Talib, say La ilaha illallah, and I will argue on your behalf on the day of Qiyamah. Just say La ilaha illallah. But Abu Talib died without saying La ilaha illallah. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam indeed was hurt, because he loved no one more than his uncle to become a Muslim. No one. If you remember, subhanAllah, if you remember the day of Fath Makkah, the day of Fath Makkah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is receiving Quraysh who accepting Islam, and he's standing on a high point. And then Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, he comes dragging his father, who's a blind man who cannot see. And then he said, Ya Rasulullah, this is Abu Quhafa. He came to become a Muslim. He came to accept Islam. Now this is a good day. This is a good day to celebrate. Abu Bakr's father is becoming a Muslim. Then the Messenger of Allah said, you should have left him home. I would have came for him. He said, no. He should come for Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi. And then after Abu Quhafa accepted Islam, Abu Bakr, he grabbed his hand and he walked away with his own father. And then he sat down and he cried. Abu Bakr cried. So somebody said to him, Ya Abu Bakr, today's a beautiful day. We, the Messenger of Allah, conquered the city of Mecca. Your father accepted Islam. Why would you cry? You know what he said? He said, I wish this old man was Abu Talib. I wish this old man was not my father. I wish this old man was Abu Talib. Because the Messenger of Allah would have been a lot more happier than Abu Talib accepting Islam than my own father. He wept for the sake of Rasulullah. So that shows you Rasulullah was so keen for his uncle to become a Muslim. But he did it. And he died like that. And the Messenger of Allah said, Amma wallahi la astaghfiranna lak ma lam unha ank. Messenger of Allah, he wept, stormed out of the room, walked away, and he said, By Allah, I will keep making dua for you unless Allah says otherwise. You know what we learn from this? We learn the importance of companionship, of friendship. We learn, your friends would influence you. You know about Talib? On the day of Yawm Qiyam, by the way, there are 8 types of shafa'ah. 8 types of shafa'ah. And one of the shafa'ah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is giving to Abu Talib for what he did. So Abu Talib will be taken from the middle, from the bottom of Jahannam to the sides of Jahannam. And that's a shafa'ah. That's a shafa'ah of Rasulullah for Abu Talib. Abu Talib could have been in al-Firdaws al-A'la with the Messenger of Allah if Abu Lahab and Abu Jahl and Umayyah bin Khalaf were not there. And you guys, young people, when your parents tell you, don't be with this boy, or don't be with this girl, and you think, he's my best friend. She's my best friend. What do you know? She doesn't tell me to do bad things. He doesn't tell me. They know what you don't know. Because your friends would influence you. And like the friend of Abu Talib, they may deviate you from the true path. And you think, it's okay, it's not a problem. Now, in the city of Toronto, there was a young man who got shot. And by the way, in Canada, boys over there, they don't use knives, they use guns. وَالْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ. And this boy, subhanAllah, he died. His friends came to pick him up. And his mother said to him, "Who are you? Don't go with them. You know, your friends are not good." He said, "What do you know about my friends? What do you know about them? What do you know of them? You know, my friends, they're there for me. They're my buddies." And guess what? He got into the car. They drove away. Another vehicle was following them. And they shot them all and they died. They died. Because a suhbah, the companions, the friends that you have, that you think your parents are backwards, are too old to understand. Maybe they don't have TikTok in account. Maybe they don't have this and that. You know, you think they don't know what they're talking about. But the truth is, your friends will impact you. And if you're good, they will not make you a better person. They will take that goodness away and you will lose it. But if you're okay kid and you go to a better brothers or sisters, they will always make you a better person. I had a coach when I used to play basketball as a young boy, young man. And my coach used to say, "Saeed, when you're here, I train you. But if you want to play outside, don't you ever play with someone who's worse than you." I wanted to show off, right? I wanted to dunk on people. I show them all my moves. So I used to go with the friends who are, you know, have less skills than me. Because I want to show off. And he said, no, don't go. Go and play with people who are better than you. That would improve your game. That's just a game. Imagine your deen. You know, if you go with someone who has less deen than you, it will sink you. You will go down with that person. But if you go with someone with better deen than you, it will improve your own deen and you will become a better person, inshallah. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was keen to guide his uncle, who so many times said, "I don't want to become a Muslim." Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was keen not only for non-Muslims, but also for Muslims. He was so keen for the Muslims to go to Jannah, not to Jahannam, wal-iyadu billah. I want to just tell you this hadith. Listen to the hadith. Hadith Abdullah ibn Amr ibn As. And I would ask you, hadith, I'll repeat the sahabi's name. Hadith Abdullah ibn Amr ibn As. He said the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam read this ayah in Surah Ibrahim. Ibrahim said, "Rabbi innahunna," he said, "Ya Allah, they adlalna kathiran min al-nas. They misguided many people. Faman tabi'ani, whoever follows me of them, fa innahu minni, he's of me." Ya Allah, these people are misguiding people. Anybody who follows my faith, Ya Allah, keep him with me, he's of me. And then he read in another ayah in Surah Al-Ma'idah, Rasulullah is reciting this to the Sahaba. According to Isa alayhi salatu wa salam, qala in tu'adhibhum, if you punish them, Ya Allah, on the day of Yawm Al-Qiyamah, in Surah Al-Ma'idah, Allah will call Isa alayhi salam. And he said, "Isa, did you tell these people to worship you and your mother?" And Isa will say, "No, Ya Allah, I told them to worship you alone." And then Isa said here, "Qala in tu'adhibhum, Ya Allah, if you punish them, they made mistake. If you punish them, فَإِنَّهُمْ عِبَادُكَ, they are your servant. وَإِنْ تَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ, but if you forgive them, فَإِنَّكَ أَنْتَ, you, Ya Allah, Al-Aziz Al-Hakim. You do it for judgment." When he recited these two ayat, Messenger of Allah, he raised his hand, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَقَالَ اللَّهُمَّ أُمَّتِي, 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 Ya Allah. Now, he read the story of Ibrahim and his people, and the story of Isa and his people. And then he wept and he raised his hand And he said, Ya Allah, ummati, my people, my people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to Jibreel, Ya Jibreel, go to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah knows the situation. And ask him, Ma yubkik, why are you crying, Ya Muhammad? Qala, and so Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam came and he said, Ya Muhammad, why are you crying? And Allah knows the condition. فَقَالَ يَا جِبْرِيلُ أُمَّتِي My ummah. So Jibreel alayhi salam went back to Allah. And Allah said, Ya Jibreel, what did my servant say to you? What did Muhammad say to you? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. قَالَ يَا Allah, he said, أُمَّتِي أُمَّتِي Say, go back to him and tell him, إِنَّا سَنُرْضِيكَ فِي أُمَّتِكَ وَلَنَسُوءُ He said, Ya Muhammad, tell Ya Jibreel, Ya Muhammad, we will please you concerning your ummah, and we will not disgrace you concerning your ummah. Subhanallah. We will please you, which means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will keep forgiving this ummah until Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is pleased. Until he's happy with the judgment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And subhanallah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, remember when the dua that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, لِكُلِّ نَبِيٍ دَعْوَةٌ مُسْتَجَابَةٌ He said, for every Nabi, for every messenger, he has a da'wah that is answered. Allah said, Ya Nabi, you have a special da'wah. And this da'wah, beside all other du'a, this du'a will be answered. فَقَالَ فَتَعَجَّلَ كُلُّ نَبِيٍ بِدَعْوَةٍ Every single Nabi uses da'wah, except I will keep my da'wah for my ummah. وَهِيَ نَائِلَةٌ إِنْشَاءَ اللَّهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامِ Also we learn from the seerah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, حِرْصَهُ عَلَى تَعْلِيمِ الصِّغَارِ See how many children, messenger of Allah, young boys and girls, he was so keen teaching you your deen. Messenger of Allah, he loved young boys and girls so he can teach them deen. He used to keep them close. Nowadays, you know, subhanAllah, I don't know about now, about the UK, but when I was growing up, I grew up in a Muslim country. And as a little boy, I used to come to the masjid early and I used to sit in the front. Because somebody told me, if you sit in the front, your sins is forgiven. So I used to sit early in the morning, 9 o'clock in the morning. Salat al-Jum'ah is 12 o'clock. 9 o'clock, I'll make sure I don't drink any water so I don't lose my wudu to using the washroom. So I will not drink, I'll be fasting that night. I'll come here as a kid. And then an old man would come. And he said, Walad, kum ya walad, kum, irja' walad, kum. Kum, and he would kick me to the second row. And when second row is full, you know, an old man would say, go irja' ya walad. I will go to the third row. The third row is full until I'm in the middle of the masjid. But Rasulullah never used to do that, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah, when he sees some young man, you know, little girl, doing khayr, oh, he used to encourage them, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He used to love teaching young boys and girls. A little girl would come and grab his finger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she would take him, a jariya, a little jariya would go and take him there and ask him, Ya Rasulullah, what is this? And Rasulullah would answer to them, would answer her, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this hadith shows you what the Messenger of Allah did with one of the young boys. This young boy, he was less than 8 years old when the Messenger of Allah died. This was Abdullah ibn Abbas. يقول عبد الله بن عباس قال كنت يعني I was riding with the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم and the messenger of Allah قال لي يا غلام O young boy إني معلمك كلمات I'll teach you beautiful words now boys imagine messenger of Allah is you know riding his horse and you're riding with the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم most likely He was going to the masjid or going to visit somebody. And then the Messenger of Allah says this to you. He says, boy, let me teach you something. Let me teach you something that is good. What did he teach this young boy? قال احفظ الله يحفظ. He said, protect Allah. Be mindful of Allah. And Allah will protect you. Not the police. Rasulullah did not say, you know, be good and Hamza will protect you. Or Umar ibn Khattab will protect you. No, he said, no. Protect the limits of Allah. Be aware of Allah. And Allah will protect you. Allah will protect you. When you have Allah, do you need anyone else? No. You don't need. If a bully comes to you, you know, and you did what you're supposed to be doing as a mu'min, as a child, Allah will protect you. يقول, protect Allah and you will find Him on your way. If you ask something, ask Allah. If you want help with your school, with your homework, with your Quran, with your study, with your dars, with your madrasa, ask Allah to help you. Even big people, you know, when they don't know something, they should go back to Allah. Imam Ibn Taymiyyah, he said, when a mas'ala, when a situation comes tight and I can't figure it out, I don't know how to solve a situation, and he was alim, he said, I used to put my forehead on the ground. أُمَرِّغُ وَجْهِ بِالْتُرَابِ وَأَقُولُ. And I would say, يَا مُعَلِّمْ إِبْرَاهِيمْ عَلِّمْنِي. I used to put my forehead on the ground and I say, Ya Allah, the one who taught Ibrahim, teach me. Teach me. Oh, the one who saved Musa, save me from my ignorance. This is Ibn Taymiyyah. And you also, as a child, the messenger of Allah is teaching you, if you have issues with your Quran, if you have issues with homework, if you have any, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help you. And he said, wa'lam, and you should know, if all the ummah, everybody came against you, and they fighting, or everybody come together to benefit you, they will not benefit you except what Allah permitted. Don't think you got something because you were slick, or you did this, or you achieved this because you were smart. No. Or your parents gave you this because of what you did. No. It is because Allah permitted. Nobody can benefit you but Allah. And he said, and if they all gather you to harm you, nobody can harm you without the permission of Allah. No one. Not the boy in your school, not the bully in your class, no one can harm you. No one. يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, everything is done. رفعت الأقلام وجفت الصحف. Pen has been lifted and the pen and the ink is dried up. So everything is written. So make sure when you ask, you only ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. An-Nabiy sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to be haris, used to be keen, once again, inviting strangers. Strangers. Can you imagine not benefiting your own family only? Not benefiting yourself, not benefiting... No, he used to go out of his comfort zone and he used to go to the strangers. He used to walk through the city. And he used to say to the people who come for Hajj and Umrah. And he used to go to a souq, a qad, a souq, different marketplaces. And he used to say, the majaz and so on. He used to say, Ya ayyuha nas, qulu la ilaha illallah, tuflihu. Say la ilaha illallah, and you will succeed. Say la ilaha illallah and you will succeed. Say la ilaha illallah and you will succeed. He will go and move around the people until a group from the Ansar came and they picked the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from that end. Now ya ibadallah, I want to cut short inshaAllah bi'idnihi subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they'll ask you questions. But before I do this, I want to tell you a story how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to give da'wah to Muslim, non-Muslim, and everybody. This is a funny story. Not funny in a sense, but a unique story. Anas bin Malik. How many of you know Anas bin Malik? Anas bin Malik, radiyallahu anhu. Anas bin Malik was a young boy who used to help Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, get him water, you know, pick his shoes for him before he walks out of the masjid. You know, because Anas bin Malik, his mother was very smart. She went to the Messenger of Allah. She said, "Ya Rasulullah, teach my son." And Rasulullah said, "Okay, let him help me around and I will teach him all the time." So Anas bin Malik, he said, Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to give a group of people a da'wah, to call them to Allah. In this group, there was mu'mineen from the Ansar, there was muhajireen, and there were also non-Muslim of the people of Medina. With them was this man, and I want you to remember this man. This man, his name was Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul. So the Messenger of Allah was riding his donkey, and when he came closer to the where these people sitting, it was a windy day. The wind picked dust and threw towards these people. So the man said, Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul, the man said, after he covered his nose, "Ya Muhammad, keep your donkey away from us. Keep it away. Indeed, the smell of that donkey is bothering me." He's trying to diss the Messenger of Allah and disrespect him. A man by the name Abdullah ibn Rawaha, Sahabi, Mu'min, who used to love Rasulullah. His name was Abdullah. What is his name? Abdullah ibn Rawaha. Abdullah ibn Rawaha, he said, "Ya Rasulullah, wallahi, the smell of your donkey is better than his smell. Continue, Ya Rasulullah. Sit down with us and talk to us." So the Messenger of Allah started teaching him, telling them about Allah, telling them about Quran. And then Abdullah ibn Ubayy ibn Salul, "Qala ya Muhammad, la nuhsinu mimma taqul." We don't care about what, we don't understand what you're saying. "Go sit at your home, and whoever wants to listen to you will come to you. If somebody wants to hear you, they will come to you. But now don't bother us in our majalis." And then Abdullah ibn Rawaha, he got upset again. He said, "Ya Rasulullah, قُلْ لَنَا." "Ya Messenger of Allah, teach us. Come to us. Meet us in our public places. We love to see Ya Rasulullah." And then the people of that kafir, which is Abdullah ibn Ubayy ibn Salul, and the Ansar, they were almost about to fight. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "That's not my intention. I don't want you to fight. I want you to be brothers. Whether you're Muslim or non-Muslim, whether you like Islam or not liking Islam, let us respect each other." So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam calmed them down, and he walked away sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he went to other Sahaba and he taught them about Islam. I know you young men, you're getting tired. We have still a lot more to talk about, but we will stop here bi-idnihi subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, our brother Jazahullah Khair, he said, this is serious now. This is a serious thing, mashallah. He said, "For three questions of your choice, for every correct answer, there's a £10. Oh, mashallah. Can I ask the question and answer at the same time?
Yes, you can. But no money.
No money for that. That's not a good deal.
There's also, brothers have prepared some pizzas and chips after the chef finishes, inshallah, as Mother
Isaac
as well.
Mashallah. But he also said, on a big letters, no Google search. You can't Google search. You can't. You cannot look onto your phone. So I'll ask you questions. Am I ready? Are you?
Yes.
I should say, are you ready? طيب, the first question. First question. The messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The girls also can answer.
The girls, absolutely. That's a question. That's a chance for the brothers, the boys, and a chance for the sisters. It's not only brothers, not only boys.
Very good.
Three for the boys and three for the girls.
Exactly. That's very good.
But what if they don't get it? What if these guys don't get it? I think girls would get it. Inshallah. I don't know about UK, but Canada, girls always number one. Tabarakallah.
Same here.
Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. It's a fitna. Girls always, always, 100%. You ask a question and the girls are like, me. The boys are like, looking everywhere but the teacher. They don't want to have any eye contact with the person who's asking questions. طيب. This is for the sisters. Ladies first.
No Google search. Yeah?
No Google search. We need a mother to watch them. We said the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam felt so sad. And after the death of Hamza, is that correct or incorrect? And correct the question. I said the messenger of Allah felt so grief and sad after the death of Hamza bin Abdul Muttalib. Is that correct? If it's yes, you get your reward. If it's no, then you correct. Sisters. What a girl.
You have an answer.
Everybody have to be silent so we can hear them.
Yes, to the girls. If you get the answer right, you get £10.
Oh, we have a girl.
Okay.
What does she say? MashaAllah. It was not Hamza, it was Abu Talib. Allahu Akbar. Say Allahu Akbar.
£10.
For Munira, mashaAllah.
Get the money, sister. Get the reward, £10. How much that in Canadian?
Not a lot. It's not bad money.
Actually, pounds are higher than Canadian.
Yeah,
you know that?
True.
It's probably $15
yeah,
Canadian.
$14, $15.
Now the boys' question.
We have a jackpot question. Uh-huh. It should be £20.
Okay.
I will put that question.
Okay.
And whoever gets it, including the adults,
okay,
get £20.
MashaAllah.
And a big piece of pizza.
طيب. A young boy that the messenger was riding with the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the messenger of Allah said, young boy, I will teach you words of wisdom. Your sheikh will choose. Pick somebody.
This one.
Anas bin Malik. No. Wrong answer. Another sheikh. Pick another one. Huh?
This one.
Huh? Abdullah bin Abbas. Ahsant. Abdullah bin Abbas.
Abdurrahman.
Abdullah bin Abbas. Now.
Girls, this is the question.
Now the question is for the girls. I talked about the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam coming in a group. There was a Muslim and a non-Muslim, and one of them said, a man said to the messenger of Allah, the smell of your donkey is bothering us. What was the name of that man? The man who was mean to the messenger of Allah. He was not a nice man. Girls, huh? Yes. Here.
Yes.
You got the answer?
Yes.
Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salushi. Got it. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Now it's for the boys. I mentioned in the same story, the person who narrated the hadith was a young boy who used to serve Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She was from the back.
From the back, yes.
Huh? Anas bin Malik, he got it right.
MashaAllah, well done.
MashaAllah. These kids, they have a good memories. MashaAllah, tabarak. One more question. And by the way, the deal is, all of you, when you have your money, collect them all together and bring it to me, inshallah. I'll take it home with me. It's a lot of money, $15 Canadian. طيب. Questions for the girls, بإذنه سبحانه وتعالى. We'll ask. No, does it have to be in topic or outside?
No, it has to be in topic.
Exactly. طيب. When the Messenger of Allah recited the story of Ibrahim and his people, and he recited the story of Isa and his people, alayhi salam, and then the Messenger of Allah was weeping and crying and asking Allah, what was he saying? As for the girls.
Girls, come forward.
Other than the one who already won £10.
Yeah.
New ones.
No,
it
has
to be new. New sister. This is a new sister. There are two sisters, but one is not from the family.
Can you repeat the question?
The question is, Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam read to the Sahaba the story of Ibrahim and his people. And he said, Ya Allah, they misled a lot of people. However, whoever follows me of them is of me. And then he read the story of Isa alayhi salam. And he said, Allah said, Ya Isa, did you tell people to worship you and your mother? And he said, No. However, they are on your servants. And then the Messenger of Allah, he weeped, he cried. And he said, Ya Allah, and he asked something, Allah, for some people. Who did they ask for?
Girls.
Some of
them. Can you come forward? Okay. Go on.
Who did he make dua for? She said he made dua for his family?
For his family.
No.
Nice from the girls.
Asma.
Only from the girls. That's a girl, that's a one peeking from here.
It has to be from
say
here.
Again.
No.
It has to be from
okay,
here.
Hey, go on.
Make that for his ummah.
Ahsant, mashallah.
Mashallah, Asma.
Very good.
Inshallah.
I have to.
We have.
Mashallah.
Now, while we're getting change and we waiting, we have two special students that I want to hear them. Of tafsir for. So let us call them. Call the first one.
Where's Sukaina?
Sukaina. Where's Sukaina?
I can learn some sex over there. Yeah, Abdul Karim.
And where's Abdul Karim? Should we call Sheikh Sukaina and Sheikh Abdul Karim?
And there are many of them like them, mashallah, but these were outstanding, these two.
MashaAllah.
But they finished the whole two juice, mashallah. Just to bargain, can I ask them any questions?
Allahu Akbar. Last year was Amma.
This year, mashallah.
Last year when I came here, Sheikh Fuad, hafidhahullah, was doing something that was wonderful. Wonderful. And I think every parent should bring his child to learn this. And that was, he was teaching the tafsir of the Quran word for word in Arabic and English. Allahu Akbar. Yeah. I was
tafsir.
Allahu Akbar. And last year when I came, they finished Juz Amma. This year they finished the second Juz. So we have, inshallah, a little girl who will recite, will teach us, inshallah, about certain tafsir from certain surah. And a young man, a young boy who will also do the same thing for us.
We still have one question for the...
I know, I'm holding voice, back.
Yeah? Wait, let's, you give them the question first.
No, this first.
Okay, before, mashallah, Sheikh Sukaina starts, I want to ask you if anybody else knows by heart Surah Al-Muddathir in English, the whole surah. The entire surah from A to Z in English. Arabic English. Anyone? So that's what Sukaina wants to share with us.
I don't want to see one part.
Good. One part, good part. Good.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful. يا أيها المدثر, O who is enveloped in garments, قل فأنذر, arise and warn, وربك فكبر, and your Lord glorify, وثيابك فطهر, and your garments purify, واخرج فاهجر, and ignore the idols, ولا تمنن تستكثر, and give nothing in order to have more of it, ولربك فاصبر, and be patient for the sake of your Lord. فإذا نقر في النار, then when the trumpet is blown, فذلك يومئذ يوم عسير, truly that day will be a hard day. على الكافرين غير يسير, far from easy for the disbelievers. ذرني ومن خلقت وحيدا, leave me alone with whom I created alone. وجعلت له مالا ممدودا, I gave him resources in abundance. فبنين شهودا, وبنين شهودا, and children to be by his side. ومهدت له تمهيدا, and making his life smooth and comfortable. ثم يطمع عن أزيد, nay, once more. كلا إنه كان لآياتنا عنيدا, nay, but he has been oppressing our آيات. سأرهقه سرودا, I shall oblige to him a painful punishment. إنه فكر وقدر, verily he thought and plotted. فقتل كيف قدر, let him be cursed, how he plotted. ثم قتل كيف قدر, again let him be cursed, how he plotted. ثم نظر, then he thought. ثم عبس وبصر, and then he frowned and looked in a bad tempered way. ثم أدبر واستكبر, and then he turned around and was looking proud. فقال إن هذا إلا سحر يؤثر, he said, this is nothing but magic of that of old. إن هذا إلا قول البشر, this is nothing but a word of a human being. So this part of the surah is a very important surah, because it's a very important part, because it has a very good story, and because basically the Prophet had been given his message, and of course the Prophet said, as I was walking back from Cave Hira, he heard a voice and he saw an angel, that was Angel Jibreel, sitting on a throne that was above the heavens and the earth, that was on the heavens and the earth, he was sitting on a good throne, and then he bowed down in awe, and then when he came back to his house, he said, cover me, cover me. Then of course Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down these verses, saying, O you who's enveloped in garments, arise and warn, why are you sitting there? Arise and warn, don't be scared, and ignore all the idols, because the idols are fake, and you're Muslim, ignore all the idols. And then of course he said, be patient, because this mission is not going to be an easy mission. And of course there's a story of a man called Al-Walid ibn Al-Mughira, who heard the Prophet reading the Quran, and of course he started praising the Prophet, and Abu Jahl said, Oh Al-Walid, why are you praising the Prophet for? Why are you praising the Prophet for? Aren't you supposed to be oppressing him? So he tried to find faults with the Prophet. So he said, oh, he's a sorcerer. But then people started saying, oh, but don't sorcerers lie, don't they tell the truth? And Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has never lied, because Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was known for his honesty. He was a very honest man. And normal. And then they said, okay, let him say he's doing magic. And so let him say he's a poet. But then they said, but this Quran does not sound like a poet. It's beautiful. They couldn't find any fault with the Prophet. So the message in this surah is saying, stop being a hypocrite. Because Al-Walid was saying good things about the Prophet, and then he started saying bad things. So hypocrisy is a very bad sin in Islam. It's very bad. So there's loads of hypocrites in Al-Madinah. One of them is Abdullah ibn Rubay. He's a main hypocrite. So the message in the surah is not to be a hypocrite, it's to be a good person. And of course, if you're praising somebody, don't insult them. You praise them. You're not supposed to insult them.
MashaAllah.
Subhaina was giving the translation just direct from the Mus'haf. She didn't have any translation, so you can all see. MashaAllah. May Allah reward her and bless her and protect her. We make dua for Allah. Allahumma ihfazha wa zidha ilman wa taqan wa
da'a. Now, who do we have? Now, we're taking questions, or after this, we take questions. Or Mus'haf. MashaAllah.
And this is Shaykh Abdul Karim Ahmad, inshaAllah.
Assalamu alaikum. Abdul Karim is going to be giving a tafsir also. Which surah? Surah Al-Mulk. I think instead of making children memorize the Quran without them understanding, I sincerely believe this method is far better than memorizing the Quran without any understanding.
Bismillahi r-Rahmani r-Rahim. Tabarak al-Ladhi biyadihi al-Mulk wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir.
Blessed is he in his hand is the dominion and he is able to do all things.
الذي خلق الموت والحياة ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا وهو العزيز الغفور.
He has created death and life that he may test you which of you is best indeed, and he is the Almighty, the Forgiving.
الذي خلق سبع سماوات طباقا ما ترى في خلق الرحمن من تفاوت
He has created the seven heavens, one above another. You can see no fault in the creation of the most beneficent. Then look again, can you see any rifts?
Can you continue reading the Mus'haf as well? You've got a beautiful voice for the Quran. I want to just... Some marja, I guess.
ثم ارجع البصر كرتين ينقلب إليك البصر خاسئا وهو حسير.
Then look again and yet again. Your sight will turn to you in a state of humiliation and worn out.
ولقد زينا السماء الدنيا بمصابيح وجعلناها رجوما للشياطين وأعتدنا لهم عذاب السعير.
And indeed we have adorned the nearest heaven with lamps, and we have made such lamps for ourselves to drive away the devils, and have prepared for them the dreadful torment of hellfire.
وَلِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِرَبِّهِمْ عَذَابُ جَهَنَّمْ وَبِئْسَ الْمَصِيرُ.
And for those who disbelieve in their Lord, their torment shall be hell, and worse indeed is their destination.
إِذَا أُلْقُوا فِيهَا سَمِعُوا لَهَا شَهِيقًا وَهِيَ تَفُورُ.
When they are cast therein, they will hear the terrible drawing in of his breath as it breathes forth.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
In the name of Allah, the entire mouse with a special master. نون
والقلم وما يسطرون.
Noon, by the pen, and what the angels write in the records of men.
ما أنت بنعمة ربك بمجنون.
You are not, O Muhammad, by the grace of your Lord, a madman.
وإن لك لأجرا غير ممنون.
And verily for you, there will be an endless reward.
وإنك لعلى خلق
عظيم. And verily you are an exalted standard of character.
فستبصر ويبصرون.
You will see and they will see.
بأيكم المفتون.
Which of you is afflicted with madness?
إن ربك هو أعلم بمن ضل عن سبيله وهو أعلم بالمهتدين.
astray from his path, and he knows who are guided. فَلَا تُطِعِ الْمُكَذِّبِينَ. So obey not the deniers.
JazakAllah khair. MashaAllah.
JazakAllah khair. These were just examples, but I'm sure there are more than 20, 30 boys and girls who, mashallah, did learn the tafsir of Juz Amma and also halfway Juz Tabarak. And also not only the memorization of the English translation, but they also know the stories, they know the Asbab al-Nuzul. They even learn not only the surahs, they learn tafsir, but different surahs. So the other day I have seen one young boy, mashallah, telling me the meaning of Surah Al-Mujadila, Asbab al-Nuzul. And some of them, they tell you the story of Hatib ibn Abi Bakr in Surah Al-Mumtahina. So I would like to see if anybody remembers Asbab al-Nuzul of Surah Al-Mujadila. Anyone wants to share? You want to try? Come on. Nah. You know the story? Come closer, come closer. This is the story, Surah Al-Mujadila. قَدْ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ الْقَوْلَ الَّتِي تُجَادِلُكَ فِي زَوْجِهَا وَتَشْتَكِي إِلَى اللَّهِ. The thing that happens with all of us is we memorize the Quran from young age, we recite it, but sometimes we come across so many beautiful stories in the Quran which we are unaware of. And the lesson for us, the main message is that we look upon the Quran and read with understanding. So come young boy, come here. You still remember Ibn? Come on, Absan. Don't be afraid. Bismillah.
There was a wife and a husband, and they lived in the house. And one day the husband said to the wife, "You're like my mom, and that's the way to do for someone, your wife." And the wife came to the Prophet and told him the Prophet about what how happened. And then Allah sent the scholar to tell how the man to repent against that sin.
MashaAllah. He tells the name of the wife and the husband. Go on, say Bismillah.
Bismillah.
Oh, okay, so what happened then? What was the ruling that came down?
That's good. That's
Zihar.
Okay. Zihar. Oh, so what was the... In order for him to go back to his wife, what must he do?
First, yes. First, for 6 days.
First, Pharisees?
No, first, free a slave.
Free a slave.
And all he said, he doesn't have any slaves. Okay.
So inshallah we'll stop there for the tafsir soon, inshallah. There are more to share with us, but inshallah we're going to have another opportunity with the Sheikh in Masjid Quba. That will be on Tuesday and Thursday, inshallah. And also tomorrow, we don't forget that we have in Masjid Al-Rahma, the Sheikh is going to give another speech about what you are already doing, rising and growing righteously. Shabun nasha fi ibadillah. So inshallah, we have the opportunity, and the Sheikh is very happy to see all of you, especially the young ones, those young boys and girls who are learning. Imagine Abdul Karim in a couple of years time, inshallah. He already started to record his own videos of the tafsir, put up, mashallah, his own YouTube channel. Mashallah, JazakAllah khair, Allah bless. Ta'liq ya Sheikh.
Inshallah. The future of the da'wah, as we, the old tradition way is not working. The traditional way that we used to do things is not working. asking children to memorize the Quran and then move on, most of them, they will forget the Quran and they will not remember anything. So the best way is, this is the best method. If they memorize the tafsir or understand the tafsir, that's the right way. We have some huffaz. As a matter of fact, in one of the part of Canada, there's a hafiz and a gangster. He's a hafiz and gangster at the same time. He memorized the Quran, but he's a gangster. He sells drugs, he kills people for a living. That's what he does. Why? Because he memorized the Quran and never understood the message of the Quran. So, hafiz lahalu la yakfi. Even if you study the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is nowhere that you will find. What did the Messenger of Allah say? خَيْرُكُمْ مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ. He never said مَنْ حَفِظَ. This is what we don't understand. Hifd is important. But remember, how many hafidh of the Sahaba of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that you can count? Not too many of the Sahaba are huffaz, but they understood the message. So hifd is important, but it's not as important as mum understanding the meaning. They know خَيْرُكُمْ مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنَ. That's the bottom line. So I think, imagine this young man, 3 or 4 years, how old are they?
Young girl, mashallah.
How old? 14. Yeah, give it, Amal, 4 more years, 3 more years, with the girls, tabarakallah. Imagine, he's going to be the best khatib that you can ever ask for. Because he can give you an ayah and ma'an al-kalima, and direct translation. You know, so this is the future. If you really want to have, you know, madaris, and I encourage everybody who's watching videos, who's listening to this, stop teaching children, especially in the West, the traditional way. Let them memorize the Quran in this method that Sheikh Fuad is teaching, which is memorizing the meanings of the Quran more than just memorizing al-huruf min ghayri fahm, without understanding. Girls, imagine, subhanAllah, these little girls, mashaAllah, tabarakAllah, tomorrow when they become, you know, when they finish the Quran and they reach that age, they will teach the community. What we're suffering right now is a lack of female scholars. We don't have female da'is who knows English and Arabic. We don't have. How many big female sheikha do you know? They don't exist. And only few that I can recall. Only, as a matter of fact, one sister that I can recall who can really teach ladies. Teach ladies in a proper way. So we need sisters and girls to also challenge. Before we go for the pizza, let us ask the last question. Last question. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to a group of people who were celebrating. And then he said, what are you celebrating? He said, they said, Ya Rasulullah, we're celebrating the day, something that we used to do during the days of Jahiliyyah. Who was those people? Who were those people? Sit down. Sheikh Fuad is going to choose. He said Quraysh. Wrong answer. Okay, this young man, he's been...
Me.
Yes.
Ansar.
Al-Ansar. Say Allahu Akbar. He got it. Tabarakallah.
He got it. He's looking for you. Rightly so.
Inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you. Oh, tomorrow, inshallah, we're going to be in Masjid al-Rahman.
Inshallah.
Which is Monday.
Yes.
Al-Ithnain. Al-Thulatha. Quba.
Quba. Al-Arbi'a.
Al-Arbi'a. We cancel Al-Arbi'a.
Okay, inshallah.
There's no Al-Arbi'a. That's what I want to say. On Wednesday, there is no halaq al-Masjid al-Quba. But inshallah,
Monday and Tuesday,
Monday Masjid al-Rahmah, and Tuesday Masjid al-Quba bi-ibnillah. Jazakum Allah khair, barakallahu fi.
For the sisters, if you just stay in your place, inshallah, then the pizzas will be sent to you. Also for the brothers, the pizza and the chips as well. Will be served in the room next door.
Excellent.
Next to the, just so that we keep the masjid clean. The sisters, if you want us to serve it at the back, also in the classrooms, we'd be happy to do that. Just so that we keep the masjid clean and so away from the smell of food as well. I think that's what we do. If we serve for the sisters at the back, inshallah. Just before we go, inshallah.
What's your YouTube account? What's your YouTube?
There's one.
Okay, I'll give you my number. You have
as we said, one jackpot question. And As I always do, my questions are very, very easy. Very easy to answer. The question is both to sisters and the brothers as well. I'm going to give priority to sisters again, because they're being so patient at the back. So,
send me your video.
We give them priority, inshallah. Again, the same rules. No Google search. You can't type the question on your mobile phone and find out what the answer is. So you have to use your memory. I might give a hint or two, even though I expect that lots of you are going to know the answer. I know it's painful to wait, but anyway, we're trying to delay as much as possible so that we get the pizzas on time for you straight after the question. Last time we did a quiz. We had 2-day conference with Sheikh Yasir Farzaga. This is about a month ago. And the first day, we announced that we're going to be having a quiz session, and there are going to be lots of gifts given away and so much money given away. And I'm the one that announced it. So it was like announced today for people to come the next day. What happened is next morning, people are phoning me up. So many brothers, they have my phone number, and they phoned me up and they're asking me. I thought they're like, they're concerned where I am and stuff like that. So are you coming today? I said, yeah, inshallah, I'm coming later on. Why are you asking for that? Well, just because yesterday you announced that you're gonna give in some money. So we just wanna make sure that you're gonna be coming again the next day. So that's why they were phoning me. But today I'm here and the money is here. The question is as follows. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam all his actions were reported to us in something what we call today hadith. Hadith of the Prophet was reported to us. And it was reported by some Sahaba, some men, some are women, some through Aisha radiallahu anha, Umm Salama, different Sahabiyat, and also some men such as Abdullah ibn Umar, Abdullah ibn Abbas, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, Anas, those people maybe that were close to the Prophet they narrated the most. Now, as I said to you, the norm is that the Sahabi will report the hadith of the Prophet. There is one Sahabi that the Prophet reported the hadith about him. Only one Sahabi. The norm is the Sahabi will report the hadith. Now the role is reversed. The Prophet ﷺ is reporting the hadith about the Sahaba. And it's only it happened once. The incident is famous. Most of you know it. I'm going to give hints. This Sahabi, if you have learned the 40 hadith, Nawawi hadith, is one of the reporters, one of the narrators of the hadith in Arba'in Nawawi. I can give you the number of the hadith, but then that would be too easy. There is no, you can't start saying, oh, this one and this and that. If you know it, raise your hand. If you don't know it, don't guess.
You have to know it, not guess it. Because when you guess, everyone's going to guess 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 40 hadith now is there, only 42. So once we run out, you're going to get it right. So we don't want to do that. So don't guess. If you know it for sure. Sisters, does anyone know the answer? If you don't know it, I'm going to give another hint. So you can wait, so that you get it right. Don't guess. You definitely know it. Huh? If you know it, you're going to get £20. Huh? Umar radiallahu anhu is not the answer. It's a good try, because Umar is in the one of the narrators of the 40 hadith, the 42 hadith, hadith Nawawi. But now I can tell that we're guessing. I'm gonna give you another hint.
No,
it's not, I'm not saying they don't know it. They do probably, one of them must know it, inshallah, especially with the hints. But I could tell from something else. That if I say what the hint was, yeah, so I don't want to make it too. Okay, go ahead. Aisha radiallahu anha. No. It's close, but it's not. It's close to the hadith that Aisha narrated in 42 hadith Nawawi, but it's not. Maybe another hint is the person is a man. Okay, I made it easy for you. You know what? I said for adults and kids as well. Girls. Another? Go ahead. Bilal. Not quite, no. I have to give again here. Go ahead. Yes.
It's my baby.
Abdullah ibn Abbas. What do you think? Not quite, no. No. I said, look. Okay, the hadith. The hadith is unique, and the incident happened only to this sahaba. The incident regarding this hadith happened only to this sahaba. By the way, the hadith is not in the 42 hadith now. I said the narrator of the hadith is, but the incident, no. Abdullah, go ahead. Sorry again? Abu Bakr Siddiq, do you know what the incident is? Is that in the 40 hadith now? It's not. The man is not mentioned. We're getting further away now. Sisters, should we put the prize up? Instead of 20 pounds, we make it a bit more. Do you need more incentives?
Yes.
Huh? More incentives? More money? Or should we say, just one. Shall we say money and the mus'haf? Mus'haf's got tafsir in it. The mus'haf itself probably costs about 15 pounds. So, girls, the first one there. The first one. Did you say Abu Huraira?
Yes.
Spain, the mus'haf.
Abu Huraira is not the right answer. Okay. Okay, listen now. Yes. Ali. Ali Abdullah is not the answer. You know what? I've got £20 and it's warming up my pocket. But nevertheless, since I said I'm gonna give it away, it's gonna go away, child. So I'm gonna make it very, very easy for you. You wanna answer now or do you want to listen to the hint first? Hint. I told you they're not sure. You wanna answer now? Okay, the hint is sorry. You know what? You're not allowed to Google. You're not allowed to Google at all or search. Because I'm going to give you a very, very easy, very, very good hint. That's going to make it very, very easy for you. The hadith, if my memory is good, is the seventh hadith. Wait. Seventh hadith in Arba'in Nawawi. Listen, that's not the incident. That's just the narrator of the hadith. The narrator that the Prophet ﷺ has narrated about. His name is mentioned in the 7th hadith of the 14th hour. Please do not use Google. Sorry. Go ahead. Abu? Ah. What do you think, Abu Dhar? Abu Dhar is not the right answer. Go ahead.
This is
sorry?
Another Sheikh, Sheikh Abdullah. The bigger Sheikh to see himself.
Abdurrahman?
Sabrina's big brother.
Which Abdurrahman? Huh? Abdurrahman? You're telling me people that you know something. That's Sahaba, not people that we know. Abdurrahman and Sa'id and stuff like that. You're just guessing names now.
Okay, the girls.
Okay, the girls. Go ahead. Huh? Abdullah ibn Abbas has been mentioned before. We should have said that. We said no, he's not the right answer. Okay, I'm gonna put you out of your misery now. Listen, this is the biggest hint. This is the biggest hint now. Okay, I'll tell you what I do. I give you three chances. Yeah? I pick three of you. You don't answer. The question's gonna go to the girls with the hint. Yes. Look, sit down.
Enjoy. Enjoy.
Go ahead. Huh? Tamim.
Tamim al-Dari.
Tamim?
Al-Dari.
That is the right answer. MashaAllah, tabarakAllah. Tamim is the right answer. His incident is that he went on the sea and he saw the jerk and he came and reported it and the Prophet ﷺ heard the story and he said it to the Sahaba. The pizza is going to be served in a couple of minutes inshallah. That's your biggest prize.
I'd just like to say to you, welcome down. Please, it was amazing. It's